Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our four-week message series leading up to Christmas called The King Has Come, as we celebrate this season of Advent together and experience the joy of this season. Now, before we jump into today's message, I just want to give a quick shout out to Tessa Pullman, our kids director here at Calvary, and her big time kids ministry crew. They did an amazing job last Sunday night for our Christmas FX light show. And anytime you hear FX in anything that they do, it means family experience. And that's exactly what happened as moms and dads and kids came together to experience the power of God in this family service. Pastor Susan and I were out as well. I think we just had as much fun as the kids did, but it was so well done. So great job to all that were involved. I also want to continue to encourage all of you to invite your family and friends to our Calvary Christmas experience throughout this entire month. If you're inviting people to join us for our grand celebration services online, it takes place next Sunday, December the 19th, with incredibly special music performances that you're not going to want to miss. And of course, our legendary candlelight Christmas Eve service. And so it's never been easier to invite people, especially when we come out on the 24th for that candlelighting service, to see all those lights, and then to have you at home or wherever you are be a part of that moment as we shine the King's light in this world. Okay, if you've got your Bibles in whatever form that you read it, we're going to read our foundational text for this series once again, found in the book of Isaiah in chapter 9. Now, this is a powerful prophecy that was given to speak about the birth of Christ 700 years before he would ever show up on the scene. So that's a long time to wait as God's people prepared themselves. But the prophet spoke these words and people hung on them for many, many years as generations passed. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born." Prophet's talking about Jesus. "Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called." Now, the prophet is about to share the titles of what this Messiah will be referred to as. Really kind of almost like a mission statement for what kind of Messiah he will be. And back in those days, it was a common practice to describe kings of the day, like Herod the Great, with something that would describe them as far as their military might or what they set out to do. And oftentimes in fives, which is very interesting because that same reference is here in Isaiah's prophecy. "And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, I love talking about God. Every chance I get, I'm going to tell somebody how great and how mighty he is and what he's done in my life. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about these titles and how incredible he is. These titles that have been used to describe who Jesus would be. And we've talked about three out of the five. And today I'm going to zero in more on the title Mighty God. Now, that's a pretty heavy title for a little baby, I will agree. You know, when Pastor Brad and Melissa were bringing their son into the world, we were all waiting to hear what he would name his little boy. And many of you can identify with that, with those that you love and are close to, those that have a child. We're all waiting. What are they going to call this little baby? And then when the baby is finally born, people will often post a little picture, a mom or dad holding up that scrunched up little bundle of joy, and they'll put their name and then their weight. And then we wait as we get a chance to see the parents and to see that little baby in person. And so finally, when we do, we're like, "Oh, look at him. He's so cute. Look at him." And we kind of fuss over him. And then we say, if we haven't remembered, what's his name again? And then the parent will speak up and say, oh, his name? It's Mighty God. Oh, Mighty God. Well, isn't that cute? That's a very strong name, isn't it? It's a heavy-duty name for such a tiny child. And yet that is how the prophet described this baby, this child, as Mighty God. Very heavy, very powerful words. You know, I grew up on the East Coast, and I've always enjoyed being close to the ocean. It's the power and the majesty of what it looks like, the ocean. And then we spent some time in the city of Toronto. And it's such a big city, so many people from all over the world. As a matter of fact, when we first moved there, before our boys came along, we had a little apartment, little one-bedroom apartment. At the end of our street was like a little parquet, and there was a small bench that overlooked the downtown core. It was probably one of my favorite views of that city, because it was on that park bench that Susan and I would sit and pray for the family that would come someday. We were praying for the church that we were called to pastor at in that city at the time. And during the day, the view was amazing, but at night, it was stunning as it just sparkled in the night. And then later, we would make our way to the West Coast, and when we first arrived, we couldn't stop talking about the mountains and looking at the mountains. Like, did you see the mountains? The mountains are amazing, aren't they? Look at the mountains. I'm sure we drove people crazy for the first 6 months because we couldn't stop talking about it. But the thing was is that most of the people who had lived here for many years had become accustomed to it. And maybe sometimes we take it for granted, because now many years later, we find ourselves in the same situation. When people come to town, they're like, oh, the mountains, they're so amazing, look at them. And I'm like, yeah, they are very beautiful. And sometimes we start to tune it out a little bit. But whether it was the beauty of the ocean on the East Coast or the power of the big city in Toronto, or the majesty of the ocean and the mountains combined here in the West, I can see God's fingerprints in all of it. Maybe you felt that at golden hour, out there with your camera trying to take a picture of a beautiful sunset. Or maybe in the middle of the summer, laying in the grass and staring into the night sky, looking at all the beautiful stars. Just appreciating the creator of the universe. He is a mighty God. Now, Jeremiah was another Old Testament prophet who spoke very powerfully of how great and mighty God was. In Jeremiah 32, verse 17, it says, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth, all those things that we see his fingerprints in. You made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and your powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Now, I love the last part of that verse, because he is a mighty God. He's full of power. He's full of strength. And nothing is too hard for God. You know what? Maybe you're watching today and you have real problems. Maybe your marriage is a mess. Let me tell you this. Nothing is too hard for God. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe your business has taken a heavy hit over the last couple of years, and you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But no matter how bad it looks, nothing is too hard for God. Maybe the doctor has given you a report that has rocked you and your loved ones to the core. Listen, let me tell you again, nothing is too hard for God. He is a mighty God. Now, the word mighty is actually a translation of a Hebrew word called gibor, which is defined as strength and power, a hero, or a warrior. So Isaiah 9:6 tells us that Jesus is El Gibor, the God of strength, the God of power, God our hero, God our warrior. Now, to me, it almost sounds like a professional wrestling hero from Mexico, you know, like a luchador, a lucha libre. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main stage, El Gibor, the God of strength and power. He is God Almighty. and he's omni or all powerful. So let's look at a few characteristics of our mighty God. God is omniscient, which means that God knows everything. He's all-knowing. He's infinite in his awareness and his understanding. The Bible says that he knows your thoughts right now. Now, for some of you, that might concern you, but it's true. Now, sometimes, just a little bit, I think I can relate to this. Husbands, you may know what I'm talking about, but we all have our little omniscient moments from time to time. Usually when we've said or done something stupid to our wives, and then later after the fallout, we end up saying or doing it all over again. And what follows in that moment is complete silence and an icy stare. And in that very moment, we know what they're thinking. Omniscient, maybe just a little bit, right? Maybe I'm stretching that one. But we know what they're thinking. God knows all things. God is also omnipresent. God is present everywhere at the same time. He's all present everywhere. Now, try as I may, I have not mastered this one. And believe me, I've tried many, many times to be multiple places at the exact same time. Our schedules and our limited human abilities don't permit us to be two places at the same time, but it doesn't stop any of us from trying. Sometimes we're watching TV or spending time with family or in the middle of a meeting, and we're also looking at our phone. Now, let me tell you this. You cannot be present and absent at the same time. One of those things has got to give. That's why in our staff meetings, I say, okay, everybody, put your phones down so that we can be present in this moment and hear one another. Now listen, here's what amazes me about God. While we meet today on our online campus, wherever you are around the world, when we meet live and in person in our main auditorium, when we meet in our Mandarin campus, online and in person, whenever we meet together, God's presence is with you. Wherever you are in this very moment. So his omnipresence is beyond our limited human comprehension. And God is omnipotent. He can do anything. He's all powerful. He has unlimited authority and power. This living word is filled with signs and wonders and miracles of what he's done. God can literally do anything. There is nothing that is too hard for God. He is almighty. And yet, even though I know it, even though I read it over and over again, there are moments when maybe I don't see it in the moment that I'm in. And because of that, doubt comes in to my faith. But the Bible tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. So even though you may be dealing with an illness or depression or a serious problem in your life, maybe a financial challenge, even though what you see is very real, those things are subject to change. What is not subject to change is our mighty God. His power is very, very real. And so in those moments, we choose to believe in that which is unchanging. All right, if you're taking notes today, I want to give you a few spiritual truths to write down about our mighty God. The first one is the King's power is at work in you. In Philippians, Paul writes to the Christ followers in Philippi, in Philippians 2:13, and he says, "For it is God who works," where? Where does he say? "In you to will and to act in order to fulfill what? His good purpose in your life. The King's power is at work in you." That's very important to understand. You know, when I first started following Christ, I felt like life was all about me, my needs, my dreams, my pleasures, my goals. It was all about making my life easier. As a matter of fact, I thought when I first gave my heart to Christ, my ship had come in. Man, I could go through this life very easily because I was a Christ follower. But then I remember the first time I faced some opposition. I faced an obstacle. And I wondered, what's going on? Where is God's power now? Is he mad at me? Did I do something to offend him? You see, God's power has not changed. It's still very real. And I would soon learn that the Jesus power was still at work in my life during those difficult times. And it was during those times that he was still trying to bring about change in my life to become more like him. Less of me, more of him. The second spiritual truth that we need to remember about our mighty God is that the King's power is at work for you. So in you and now for you. In Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet says this of his God in verse 29 through 31. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths, now interestingly, that word youths in the Hebrew actually means Olympic athlete or the best of the best. So it's saying even the best of the best will grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Maybe this hits home for you today. You're weary. You're feeling fried, right? You're worn out. Maybe you took everything in your power just to get up today and to turn on this broadcast. Maybe it took everything in your power to bring the family out and to watch church together, because the problems that you have are very real. Listen, the good news today is that God gives strength and power to the weary. And he's going to renew your strength today if you'll only believe in the mighty God at work within you. And then finally, number three, the King's power is at work through you. You know, there are certain scriptures that always resonate deep within me when it comes to what he's called me to do. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is one of those scriptures. But you will receive what? Power. You'll receive that power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be, what will we be? My witnesses in Jerusalem. So you're given power for a reason. You're given power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now that sounds like Calvary Church to me. We will take the good news to our city, to our province, to our nation, and to the nations of the world. Let me tell you this, every single one of you, if you're a Christ follower, you're also a minister. Did you hear that? You're a minister, every single one of you. Whether you're a stay-at-home parent, a business owner, maybe you're a teacher, you're also a minister. And Jesus' power is available to work through you in all those situations. King Jesus' power at work in you, at work for you, and through you. He is our mighty God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the power of your word. We thank you that you are our mighty God, working in us, working through us, and working for us. God, I pray that every person that hears my voice, that's watching this broadcast today, that if they're in a place where they're exhausted and tired and they're lacking strength, I pray today that you would renew that strength. As our mighty God, that you, King Jesus, would fuel our faith and cause us to stand in a stronger place as we trust you. And I pray that the mighty God would be seen in everything that we say and do as we take this good news, the good news of the gospel, to the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.